What's happening, municipals? I want to talk to you about brand new golf ball markers from Matchstick Golf. The golf season is upon us, and the Masters is right around the corner, and Matchstick is ramping up and raring to go. They've recently released two markers in collaboration with Manzanita Links, one of Oregon's best coastal golf courses. You can get King Sevi, the Seagull, or the Spirit of Oregon crest right now, or if you want something more formal, grab the all-new Bachelor Cash Stack, an all-new marker featuring a wad of $100 bills bound with a black bow tie and finished in gold. It's perfect for a bachelor party gift for your groomsmen. And of course, you can always use code MUNICIPALS at checkout for 20% off your first order. Head to matchstickgolf.com, get all-new ball markers at a great price. Matchstick Golf, set fire to the greens.
How hard did you push it? Till I black out?
Yes.
Numerous times, yes.
What's happening, municipals? This is Big C. We have a special guest, friend of the pod, best friend of mine, our boy, Brian Mace. What's happening, buddy?
Living the dream. Watching some hockey, drinking some wine. I mean, doesn't get any better, right?
Couldn't ask for a better Tuesday night.
Right? It's fantastic. Hell of a Tuesday.
Fantastic night. Hell of a Tuesday.
A work email, too. What the hell am I doing?
just living the dream. But
oh yeah,
I brought B Mace on because when we went to do the cookout, me and Brian were the only guys coming from Portland, and so we chatted about kind of ideas of what we wanted to do. Since we were traveling, we might as well get some extra golf in. So, you know, not to get Brian in any trouble, we're not gonna talk about any other sorts of what else went down there, but we decided to go on this you know, trip a little couple day, you know, a few days early, and Brian got down there about Wednesday afternoon. I got down there Wednesday night, and Thursday before our practice round on Friday, we decided to play 36 holes, which, good or bad, I don't know if it was the best decision. We've said this multiple times on the pod that sometimes after a short amount of sleep the night before and a bunch of travel and all that bullshit, 36 is a lot. So we probably could have been playing 18, been completely content, but we decided to go full in. And you know, I wanted Brian to be able to experience Rustic Canyon. We've talked about that course on the pod many, many times, and one of our favorites for sure. And I'm sure it's one of Brian's favorites now. I mean, we had a blast. It was the first course we played in the morning. You know, it was a spectacular way to start the day. Brian, let's get your thoughts on, you know, short thoughts, because we're going to talk more about Tierra Rajada. But Rustic Canyon, thoughts on that?
Dude, Rustic was incredible. You built it up quite a bit, and it lived up to expectations. That, I mean, hard as hell. Those greens were ridiculous.
They're difficult.
I had no idea. Yeah, with a brand new putter, you just put in my hands. I had no idea what was going on out there.
You putted lights out though.
I got it going. You know, especially once we got to the video game course at Tierra Rajada. But yeah, those greens were so fast. We played with the two old timers out there, you know, making me feel a hell of a lot better about my game, which was nice. But yeah, that course is incredible. I got to get back out to Rustic as soon as possible.
What was the one guy's name? It was like Wally or Wayne or something like that. But he had the most fucked up approach and swing. I'm not shitting you guys. This like, it was hard for me not to laugh when this guy was teeing off on every hole, because he almost was aimed backwards.
Yeah, it was like Charles Barkley before he got his swing fixed, but like in an old man version. It was frightening, honestly.
It was, but the crazy thing is the rest of this guy's game was pretty on point. Like, he just could not get it off the tee. Like, the whole round, he was in the shit. He couldn't get it up in the air. It was horrendous. The minute the guy got in the fairway, game over. Like, it was insane how good he was everywhere else on the course, but off the tee. This dude could not put it together.
Yeah, I can't talk bad about him because he got, like you said, he kind of figures it out once he gets there, but damn, so many like 34 yard shots off the tee.
Yeah.
Just diving straight into the ground. I don't know how he ever hit the ball, but yeah, that man, he had such an old, like old European man game too. Once he got near the greens, he's hitting these weird little running shots. Like, that dude's played there a ton. You could tell.
Yeah. He's played there a ton, you know, definitely a local. I mean, around the green, the guy was masterful. But the minute that the guy got back on a tee, it was like it took him 3-4 shots per hole to get to and around the green. But then he was like up and down every single time. It was insane. Didn't make sense.
Man was clutch.
Man was clutch. I mean, it was fun. They were good people, though. They were. We couldn't have asked for a better twosome to be paired up with. And then after we played Rustic, we drove out over to Tierra Rajada. So this course, guys, is a Bob Cup design. If you're from the Pacific Northwest, you're definitely familiar with Bob Cup designs. We've got Langdon Farms, the North Course at the Reserve, both Pumpkin Ridge courses. He helped with one of many of the Augusta redesigns. Also, for all my ATL guys, shout out to Utron. Helped with the redesign of the Bobby Jones course out in Atlanta, which is supposedly one of the most, you know, spectacular, you know, municipal sites to behold. So, you know, I know Tron has a bunch of love in his heart for that place. So that's kind of cool to see. But this, I would not say, is one of Bob Cup's best works. We'll just say that. It definitely was a late 90s, early 2000s Fazio-esque, like, fucking make-believe golf course. I mean, this place was ridiculous. The whole front nine was built into canyons. It just, the course didn't make sense at all. It just was all over the place. The most radical, like, OBs I've probably ever seen on a golf course. It was ridiculous. Like, what was your thoughts rolling up to Tierra Rajada coming from Rustic?
Yeah, I had no idea where the course was. It's literally, like you said, sandwiched up against a cliff and built into the side of the cliff a few times on some of these ridiculous holes I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, it was just weirder than hell. I had no idea how there was 18 holes out there. Just it looked like it didn't belong there. It didn't make sense to me at all. Weird clubhouse, like, just gigantic. A lot of old dudes too. It was a lot of proper golfers out there, you might say.
So shout out to our guys, Northwest Golf Guys. When I posted about this place, Travis actually hit me up. Zach actually hit me up and he was like, dude, I went out there when I first moved down to SoCal and I went out there for a tournament and I wanted to walk and they legitimately told me they do not allow people to walk that course because it is so difficult and it is so far apart and so hilly in the terrain that they just do not allow it. It's like the first course I've rolled up to where they're like, physically, no, you cannot walk.
You'd maybe survive the back nine, but yeah, no chance in hell on the front.
And I think that's what our playing partner, that guy that we got teamed up with, told us too. He goes, I guess you can come out early in the morning and they set people off on the back nine to walk nine. But I think there was only one really crazy hilly hole. I think it was number 10. It was like that straight uphill, you know, par four that I think that was really the only crazy undulations on the back nine. But the front nine, the entirety of the front nine was built on the side of a fucking cliff and on top of these mountains. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, like I said, it didn't make sense. It didn't belong there. And like you said, 10, it's what we're looking at during lunch, just staring at this hole, literally straight up a mountain, thinking like, damn, are our asses going to make it up the hill in the cart? Like, this thing was steep. It was, I didn't think you could hit a golf ball up there.
No, so anybody that's from the Bay Area, anybody that listens to this, the first hole in Berkeley at Tilden Park, everybody in the Bay Area despises that fucking hole. It's like the worst hole ever designed. This is, if you turn that hole up 10 notches, that's what this hole was, number 10 at Tierra Rajada. It was, I can't stand an entirely par four built entirely at a 60 degree grade. Like, it was absurd. It was just like hit into a hill, chip on. It just was like,
I don't think it was even, wasn't even 300 yards, right?
No, I think it was just over three.
I want to say it was like two. I thought it was like 285.
It was 345 from the tees we played.
Oh yeah, we took it back there because we had the local boy out there,
yeah,
shepherding us around the course.
Yeah, so we only played from 6,500. But that hole was playing 345 that day, and I swear to God, it played at like 500 yards.
Oh, it felt like it would never end.
I think both of us were exhausted at that point too. I mean, between hole like 8 and hole 13, I think me and you spoke maybe three words that entire like 4 or 5 holes. We were just like done. 4 hours of sleep the night before.
When I also left my house to go to the airport at like 3:30 in the morning the day before that, spent all day in the car in LA visiting some dealerships for work. It was just, yeah, hell of a day. And then to jump into 36, and this was our second 18. That was
we were exhausted.
Very rough one.
Very rough. And we couldn't have picked one of the more challenging courses. If we could redo it again, I think we would have swapped the courses and done Tierra Rajada in the morning, just because it was so, even though we were in a cart, this fucking place was gruesome. Like, you couldn't
walk. I was exhausted. It beat me up.
You couldn't bring the cart all over the place because the terrain was so rough. Like, you would have rolled the fucking cart off of a cliff on certain parts of these holes. Like, what we kept telling each other, this was PlayStation 2 Tiger Woods 2008 video game fucking golf. Like, it wasn't real. Like, the landscape was never meant to have a golf course on it. Probably shouldn't have a golf course on it. I mean, but if you do get a chance to play it, I will say play it, because it's something you're probably never going to experience in your time traveling for golf.
Definitely fun. I had a good time. Fun as in hell. Like, we were talking the whole time, like, how fun would like a good 4-man scramble be out here? Because you're hitting ridiculous ass shots. A lot of these shots don't make sense. You're all trying to do something crazy because you have to do something crazy. So why not go out there with 4 guys and see what you could do? The winning score wouldn't be great. It wouldn't be like those other scrambles where it's 74 under wins, you know? Be much more reasonable out there. But yeah, that place is just, it doesn't make sense. That's the best way to say it. Like you said, it's a video game course completely.
I think if a 4-man scramble went out there and they were all between 5 and 9 handicaps, you'd be lucky to shoot a 76.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be lucky to shoot a 76 out there.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. And the weirdest thing for me is the front nine out there is where I played my best golf of the whole weekend. The hardest stretch of 9 holes, and I played my best. I was great out there for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I completely lost it.
Yeah, I think we both lost it halfway through the round. And then we gained it a little bit back at the end. But it was kind of a shit show out there for our games by far. But that, so the way the course kind of comes to be, the parking lot, you come right through, you come right through hole 15, 13, 12, and 16. There's a little driveway that brings you up there into the clubhouse, into the parking lot. Then you've got a really nice driving range on the left-hand side of the clubhouse. And then hole one kind of runs along the right-hand side of the driving range. And very unappealing first hole, in my opinion, kind of overlooks out into the freeway. Bit of canyons, but it's got that big net for the driving range on the left-hand side. You know, okay starting hole, kind of probably the easiest and most of a handshake that you're going to get on the front nine. It's pretty long from where we played. It was 580 par five, like pretty damn long opening hole, I will say that, but it wasn't challenging in my opinion. You had a little bit of water to deal with towards the green, but by the time you were up near it, you only had about a 150, 160 shot in. So it wasn't anything too crazy. And then hole two and three is when the fucking shit show starts.
Like, one might be the most normal golf hole out there.
Yeah.
Just very straightforward. And even that water, like you mentioned, you could blow it so far right, it's not even in play.
Yeah. Not really, even in play.
You hop into just the wilderness right away. Absolute just shit show the rest of the way. Like, buckle up.
Buckle up, bitch. It's going to be a ride.
Yeah. One's a nice handshake. Two is a fucking headbutt.
It's a short par three. Like, it's not a long hole. Like, it's 100 and from where we played, it was 153, but they were redoing the tee boxes, so I think we were playing from like 110. The fucking green was like the size of like a normal person's living room. It was tiny,
and you can't see anything you're landing. You can see a tree behind and the very tip top of the flag. That was it.
It was this giant hill that you have to hit up and over. Like, it's got like a 20-foot elevation that you have to hit up and over to this like bowl green that then slopes straight off the back and ejects your fucking ball. And it was ridiculous. And I think all four of us bogeyed it. Like, it was 110 yards and all four of us, I think, bogeyed that hole.
I think there's only three of us, right? Or am I crazy? Okay, I was like, what did I miss? I doubled that hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went off the back. I was next to the cart path, 437 yards away.
Yeah,
because it comes right off a cliff, rolls all the way down the hill. Like, good luck. If you miss that green, up doubles a good score.
Yeah, if you miss it short, you're done. Like, you're finished.
Pick up the ball.
Yeah,
pick up the ball and go. Move on to three.
And then you move on to three. And our playing partner who plays there all the time, the funniest shit, we pull up to three and he goes, "All right, look, guys, you just don't want to miss it left." And I think me and you both look at each other and we're like, no shit. Like, it is literally a fall off cliff on the left-hand side that just drops for 80 feet. Like, it is just a dead drop. And there's a little bunker on the top left side, about 240, 250 out. And the guy tells us, "Oh, yeah, you want to aim at the bunker." And I look at B Mace and I'm like, "Well, there's this big hill on the right-hand side that then slopes down to this like gully and slopes a little left. But like, yo, if you hit it on top of that hill, it'll slope right in." This guy hits his drive and it goes left of the bunker and he gets saved by a fence.
Like a fence built of rocks.
Yes.
Like rocks stacked on top of each other. Yeah, we're both actually in way better positions than him. we hit like weird ass clubs too. I think I hit like 4 iron off that.
Yeah, I hit a 3 wood, tee, I think, like, off of that one. I mean, it plays at like, it wasn't long. It only played at like 425 when we were playing that day. And it wasn't crazy long, but we were just both scared to hit drivers. And then by the time we got up and over the hill, we're like, oh shit, if you just hit a driver over the right-hand side, there's a big wide open fairway. It just like slopes down 20 to 30 feet into this like catch basin.
Yeah, it's basically the opposite. Like, we'll get there, but 10 with the straight uphill, literally the reverse hole.
Yeah.
You just hit it and it'll roll all the way to the green.
You just roll all the way down there. And so we got like a false, you know, information by this guy telling us, you know, completely incorrect. And this actually was the story for the entire round, because like he would have been the worst caddy in the world. If
plays there all the time. What do you say? A couple times a week?
Yeah. Plays there a couple times a week.
Like, just think of that. That's how ridiculous this course is. A guy that plays there a couple times of the week has no fucking clue how to play the course.
Like, not at all. He, not at all. And so we ended up still having like 200 plus into this green. And this green, I'm telling you, even where we were at, we still had 30 feet downhill to be able to land onto this green. You know, there's bunkers left, bunkers back right. And I think I hit mine over into the tee boxes on the left or on the right hand side on number 4. And I think you did the same thing, but neither one of us could find, or was that on hole 5? That we did that.
Yeah, I think that was on 5.
Okay.
I think you did go longer this green, though, by those tee boxes.
I did go long by the tee boxes, and then I had to chip back.
It's straight downhill, so it was like, yeah, we're 200 out, but you needed to hit like a 73-yard shot somehow.
Yeah, I literally would have had to pull a pitching wedge out to get it to where I needed to be from 200 out. Like, this is what I'm saying. This course, like, literally, the shots don't make sense because you've never played them before. Like, you're never going to come across another course where it's like, yeah, I have a 200 yard shot, but it's downhill 50 feet.
Yeah. It's like one of the guys from the cookout, I might've been Hussey, was talking about how much you had to think out at Soul Park. This is like the same sort of like mental test, but not in a good way. Literally thinking of shots like you've never thought of or even like pictured it, you'll never think of again. Unless you're playing this course, and you know, like our playing partner, and you still may never see that shot again because it's just, it doesn't make sense.
Because you're never going to hit the same spots in that course ever. Like, no matter if you hit the same club every single time and your distances are perfect, you're never going to get the same like end result.
Yeah, I don't know how to like make it any more clear. That just doesn't make sense. It's the best way I can describe it.
It really doesn't. But we're going to skip hole 4 because that was kind of a chintzy hole. I didn't really like that. But hole 5 was kind of a ridiculous hole. It was really narrow. You didn't have any room to miss on the left-hand side. Again, canyons on the left miss. But if you blew it right, you were legitimately in this like thick fescue or by the tee boxes on hole 6. And then on this hole, the guy looks at us and he goes, well, you're lucky it's kind of cold out today because we find like 6 rattlesnakes around out here. I'm like, cool, sick. After we both just jam it into the fucking thick rough.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not about this place. After he said that, that was like, yeah, I went on 4 telling us about the snakes and I'm walking in like knee deep grass.
Yeah. It's just
horrible.
Not a good look at all. But then you get the hole 6, and it's this really dumb, like, design. As you guys can tell, we did not like this course that much. I wouldn't say we didn't like it. It's not playable. And it's like we said, if you went out there to have, like, a fun scramble match, or if you were doing best ball, or any other type of match other than stroke play or match play. It, you know what? It might even be a fun match play because it just would just – it's a who's to say situation who would win a match play out there. Like,
yeah, nothing would mean anything. Like, you throw the handicaps out the window.
Yep.
You couldn't even handicap it. It's too much.
Because
too much
going on. You can't bomb and gouge the course. Like, there's no, you have to hit certain shots, and you have to have played this course so many times and remember it, because obviously our playing partner did not remember correctly what we were getting into. But hole six was this crazy, like, not very long. It was only four. That was only about 230 out. And you didn't have any other room. You had a giant backstop so you could slam it into like the back, like wall, I guess you'd call it. But there's not much else you could do there. It's like, I don't even know how to explain this hole. It was just ridiculous. It's just like this giant catch basin that you land your ball into, and then you have to hit up this 40-foot slope, like at a 45, 50-degree grade that goes up into this green that has a false front, and then it's so big, if you hit it past the hole, you're then having a 30, 40-footer back towards a false front.
And the whole right side's a mountain. Like it made no sense. I ended up hitting up over a literal mountain and played it off the backside and rolled it all the way like 20 yards from the green.
It's the only way to play.
I didn't mean to, but that's what happened because I hit up a damn mountain.
It's the only way to play this course, though. You just have to play the hills and play the slopes. Like, if you're going for flags and you're going for spots, not going to work. Like, you got to play trick shots out in this course because that's exactly what it is. It's a fucking video game. Like,
yeah, you literally just kind of aim in the general direction and smack the shit out of it.
Yep.
Because it's going to hit a hill in one direction and most likely roll down off the hill. There's some you need to roll it up a hill somehow. But yeah, it just bang the hell out of the ball off a couple mountains. It'll maybe roll into a decent spot and then bang it off another mountain.
Pretty much. That's how to explain that course. But one hole, I think I'm going to skip straight to it. Number eight. When we approach this hole, we come off a par three. That was actually not a bad par three. Good design. Well done. Probably the best hole on the entire front nine. Then you approach this hole. And hole eight is the tee boxes are right off the green from hole seven, from the par three. You walk up to these tee boxes. You're like, what the hell? You kind of have to walk down a trail. And then you're like down on this, like, you're literally teeing off on cliffs. And the guy we're playing with, he goes, oh, you guys got to go check it out. There's a tee box over on the left-hand side that they set up for tournaments. And so while he was teeing off, me and B Mace walk over there. And we'll post the video that Brian took of where we were at. I'm not shitting you. It is a 50, 60-foot fall off of a cliff that then runs a canyon that goes about 230, 240 yards. Then the green or the fairway lays vertically to the actual tee box. So it doesn't even run like the way you're hitting the ball. And the tee boxes are lined up to where you have to hit into the fairway sideways. Like, it, none of it makes sense. And you don't know what club to play. Like, you think, oh man, if I hit a driver from this high up, like, that thing's going to blow right off the other side of the fairway and it's going to be gone. But then you're like, well, if I hit a three wood, I don't know if that's enough club. So you're just like perplexed and you don't know what to do. And I we watch, like, the guy goes, oh, you guys, he tees off, and, like, we can't see where he hit his ball. He said he was safe. Then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to bang a 3-wood out there. And I actually hit a good 3-wood at kind of more of a left angle than I should have. I should have went a little bit more towards center of the fairway, but I went a little bit more towards the green on the left-hand side. And me and B-Maze look at it and go, all right, that should be good. Like, shouldn't be a bad shot at all. And then B-Maze tees off and literally lands kind of in the same place I was at. And we were like, all right, we should be good. So we then proceed to go down this fucking hill that zigzags for like a good like 2 or 3 minutes until you get to the bottom basin
where the fairway starts.
Super steep. Like, this is where I'm like, okay, I see where they're talking about, where like no walkers could walk. Like, bro, you'd be exhausted by the time you got down to your ball. Like,
legitimately, like if you walked, like no bullshit, from the tee to your tee shot there, if you hit the fairway, you're probably walking a good 15 minutes. Like, no bullshit.
No. Easily.
Especially if you pull cart.
Yep.
You'd be leaning back the whole way. Probably crash going down that hill. There was, like, what, 3 or 4 switchbacks on it? Like, we basically had to come to a stop to make the turns. It was not... not anything I would recommend anyone even attempting to walk.
No, I wouldn't tell anybody to walk this, and I would feel bad if you tried, because halfway through the front nine, you'd hate your life.
Yeah, and like you said, the course doesn't allow people. It's probably a safety issue more than just a pace of play issue.
Well, it's not walkable, but then you got snakes everywhere out there. And it's hot as hell most of the year out there. There's nowhere for you to get, like, water and stuff like that on the course. I didn't see one, like, water bottle, like, thing.
I saw one and it was empty. And then, yeah, no cart person out there. It's horrible.
No, nothing like that. So, like, yeah, there's no way you could walk because you'd just die. They would just find you dead on hole 7 or hole 8. And
we didn't even play that late. It's not like they stopped service.
Yeah.
There was plenty of day left. You could have gotten, you know, another 9 by the time we finished. So
easily.
Definitely should have been somewhere out there.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe because it was a Thursday and people weren't, you know, they don't do, you know, drink services on Thursday. I don't know. But yeah, there was plenty of time to be able to get out there. But once we finally got down to the fairway, we find out both of us hit it short into the fucking canyon. We couldn't. That's how high up and far you are. Like, you can't even see your ball land out there. So we end up both having to take penalty drops. Then what makes this hole even worse is you're hitting, again, up a hill into a green. This green was amoeba-shaped. Like, it made no sense. It had, like, 4 miniature bowls inside the green, like, 4 bunkers that surrounded it, 2 guarding the front. Like, it was just the hole was just ridiculous. And, like, I don't know how to explain it anymore. It's chintzy video game shit. Like, it just shouldn't be. Humans should not be playing golf courses like that. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely not one of Bobby's finer holes there.
No, like I can't press X 100 times to make my ball get front spin so it fucking shoots off the cliff.
Yeah, like this is definitely the course you save all the power-ups for.
Yes.
Like, you need your wind cutter and your rock skipper power-ups here.
Yep. All right, hole 9. Hole 9, not a lot to talk about. Kind of just a really, really long par 5. Like, it wasn't exciting. It wasn't a spectacular hole, in my opinion. I do think there was a great green complex on it that ended the front 9 really well, because there was a lot of bullshit on the front 9. But to get there, you had to battle through 545 yards. So it was a little bit of a stretch for guys that, you know, hit it a good 260 with the big old long stick. But, you know, it was what it was. And then we reloaded, got something to drink, and then went to the monstrosity of hole 10.
Yeah, and to have 10 follow up 9 that just is super straightforward but beats the hell out of you. That's super that was like a path only hole. And it had that super super steep left to right swing at the start of the fairway too. We both just literally threw it into a mountain again and let it roll down in the middle of the fairway. So, I mean, it worked out for us, but man, we had a lot of shots there.
Yeah.
Very dead straight, very straightforward. And like you said, great green, but man, it took forever to get there.
Forever to get there.
Not even shot wise. It's just like, I felt like every shot I had was like, it felt like 300 yards. Yeah. Every shot. I needed to hit it. It just didn't make sense.
It was elongated to the point where it was just like, this is painful, especially coming off of the holes we came off of on the front nine. And again, we were both dead ass tired. Then we approached the fucking monstrosity of hole 10, find out that is cart path only. And it is straight uphill. So you got to walk across a 45 degree grade, 50 degree grade, that runs along the entirety of it to even get to your ball. No matter how long of a hitter you are, you're not hitting this green, and it's going to all roll back into the same spot. That's what we found out. It just horribly designed hole, and then it backs up the course because it's cart path only. It's on this ridiculous slope. If you hit it way left, you're like walking like 100 yards to get to your ball. It's just really poorly designed, in my opinion. And it just makes the front or makes the back nine just start off incredibly poor because it's just, you're waiting on people. It's right after everybody's getting drinks and food. It's just the whole situation's no go. And it's not like you can go back to the clubhouse from nine super easy. Like, it's on the other side of hole one, on the other side of a putting green. So you have to go down this hill over to the clubhouse to grab something to drink or eat, then come all the way back up the hill, you know, past one, past nine green, then hang a right, and then you're on hole 10. And it's just like, not a great routing. Like, just really poorly routed.
Yeah, no, this course, like, it reminds me of an album that's just really poorly put together. Like, there's like, you know, there's three good songs on there, but you got to listen to 12 tracks of trash. It's exactly what this felt like. None of it made sense. Just the order was out of whack. Like you mentioned, horrible routing. A good club sandwich, I'll give them that. But man, not much else.
No, it should have been an EP, not a full album.
Fact.
Like, it
drop those three by yeah, themselves. Maybe one of the other tracks is a throwaway.
You might have had a bonus track in there that you could have found if you didn't route it so shitty. Like, it's just, it's a horribly, horribly planned out album. And that's exactly the best way to explain it. It's just like, it should have been an EP. You had some cool holes in there, but you just didn't get it. It just, like, the property just wasn't used to its fullest.
You'd probably make a decent, if you took all 18, you could maybe make a good nine holes, maybe. I don't even know if it'd be good. You could put together a good three for sure. But yeah, it just, no.
Yeah.
It didn't deserve to be there. Like, I still don't understand how a golf course was sandwiched into this mountainside.
It definitely seemed like they were trying to create something that shouldn't have been created. And one thing that you come across, and it's on hole 13, it pretty much puts the icing on the cake, because you get to hole 13, you hit your tee shot, then you get to your approach shot, and you just see I always make fun of Tom Fazio because it's the big Tom Fazio golf architect bullshit with him and his fucking water fountains. But they have this giant fucking, like, you know, pond, and I'm sure it's like recycled water that they use to water the course because you're in LA and they never have water. You know, unlike us from Pacific Northwest, we got green year round. But it just you get to this, you know, lake, and they have this monstrosity of a water fountain behind the green on the right hand side. And the guy looks at us and goes, "Oh, this is the signature hole. This is it." And I look at you and I think I just started laughing out
loud.
Yeah,
I tried not to laugh, but yeah, you did not hide it. And I mean that, yeah, just looked like an old folks home. Like it was just not good looking at all. A real shitty little like footbridge.
It's like a water fountain that's in the middle of the roundabout at an old folks home. Yeah, exactly.
Like you'd go throw some soap in there as like a prank. It was just, and the water, like you mentioned, is fucking gross. Just a horrible fountain, horrible hole. But yeah, it's just a real nice like cap to like, oh, you want to know what this place is about? Let me take you to 8 and then 13. You'll know it all.
Yeah, you'll know the entire story of how this book was written. It's just, you just need the cliff notes. You don't need the full story. Just the cliff notes of 8 and 13 will give you all you need. You'll be able to write your book report. You'll be able to turn it in. Nobody will know that you didn't play this golf course.
Well said. Cliff notes. I like it, you know?
We all did it. Of course. I think, like, in high school, I read a total of 2 books. So
reading a Cliff Notes book counts as a book, though.
Yeah. It does. Until you come across your English teacher that wrote books for a living and then made you do book reports on his own books.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was Mr. Ferry. Shout out Mr. Ferry. Westmont High
School. Sounds like a dick.
Anyways, he was actually super weird. Super creepy, too. And his books were kind of written about, like, pedophilia. Oh, God.
I was hoping you're going to say like those romance novels you see at like the grocery store in the checkout for like old women with like a Fabio with like his shirt flowing and he's carrying like a damsel in distress.
No, he talks about like one of his books were about like 2 8-year-olds that like fall in love and find each other. God. And it's
Jack,
like,
cut this all.
We have fallen far off the wagon. That's how crazy this golf course makes you. It just makes you lose your fucking mind. And then, so after 13, after the monstrosity of the fucking waterfall, where the story ends, it doesn't necessarily end. There are actually some good holes after 13. I think 14 was a really good par 3. You know, it was a long, you know, kind of long, about 170, 200, depending on what tees you're playing. But I thought it was a very well-designed hole. And then I think, you know, 16, 17, 18 were all really good holes. I think the back nine on this, and I think you agree as well, was a little bit better designed outside of 13 and 10 than the front nine was.
Oh, for sure. And you mentioned the par threes. Par threes are probably the best thing about this course. They're all pretty good. And the back, yeah, the back is more on like the flat ground, more normal. Not that it's all flat, but more normal golf course layout. And yeah, 1 through 9 is just up through the canyon and hills, off of cliffs, hanging over the freeway. Definitely shouldn't be there. They should have kept it to 9 and just did the back. But yeah, decent finish. You know, with 14 and 17, the par threes, and I really liked 18 more. It's kind of like a better version of 1 with the water there next to the green once you get up there. But yeah, it doesn't really ever come into play. Real nice finish though, right next to the clubhouse.
Really nice finish. Great green. That was probably the best green complex of the entire round and on the entire golf course, because it was this multi-tiered green that kind of tiers up three tiers over to the left-hand side, kind of roping into the clubhouse with a couple bunkers up in the front. And it just was a very, very nice handshake after you've been bitch slapped for 17 straight holes.
They do the classic, you know, golf course thing here where the two nicest greens were 18 and 9 right next to the clubhouse. Yeah,
pretty much.
You stand out there, you kind of look around like, oh yeah, this place is nice. And then you get out there and, you know, smacks the shit out of you. And then if, you know, finishes nice, you're like, oh yeah, you know, I guess I'd come back here. But damn, it's a hell of a ride. It's like a fucking roller coaster, honestly. Just like starts out real nice, then just some wild shit. And then, you know, you come back to the little station before you get out. And you're like, oh yeah, I think I had fun. Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
I think I had fun. Maybe I'd come out here.
And then
again,
when your playing partner, you ask for a Mexican food recommendation, he's got a great little spot. And you show up and it's like upscale white people Mexican food. They had giant beers, which was cool. And the Jazz were playing good at that point. But damn, that place sucked.
And we got to see an absolute show with those two ladies at the bar.
Screw the footage I have of eight. The footage I have on Snapchat of those two going ape shit. I thought we were going to have, like, it was like a Real Housewives on Bravo, like, style situation, like standing up screaming at each other. There was a storm out at one point.
It was like if they did like Real Housewives, but they put it on like PBS.
Oh, yeah. It was not, like, they were not classy ladies by any means. They're interesting characters. But yeah, the storm out was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Like slamming hands down on the table. It just classic. It was incredible cinema. Dinner and a show.
We had no clue what they were talking about. It's just like every 5 minutes you just heard like one of them yell the other person's name. And then she finally got fed up one time and slammed something down and stormed off for 5 minutes and then came back to finish her. By the way, drinking glasses of wine, not even sangria or like something that would go along with Mexican food, just straight up red wine.
The weirdest part is no one cut them off. No one said, like, hey, keep it down. It was like full on screaming match.
People sitting on both sides of them. Like, all I know, like it was just normal.
Part of the issue, there was a closet involved. I know that. But I mean, other than that, I'm in the dark. But man, don't go to that place. I forgot the name. Thank God. But man.
But we were in the Mecca of Mexican food. We asked for a recommendation from a man that claims he's lived here his whole life and this is his territory. We ask him for Mexican recommendations and he gives us two. The first one he says is the best. It's the best place you got to go. You'll love it. It's so good. And then he hits up his daughter and she tells him, well, they could also go to this other place. It's a little more divey, but it's okay Mexican food. The minute we heard divey, we should have eliminated the first one.
Absolutely.
And we should have went straight to that Mexican restaurant that was divey. Because we all know you're going to get some solid Mexican food if they have flags that have been hanging on the wall for 30 years. They've got Mexican streamers that are hanging from the rafters. Yeah. That have not been touched or seen. They have giant blow up Corona bottles. That's
Club America, that's Corona sign.
Yep. You know, Pacifico on draft.
Best kind of beer.
Yes. You know you're a true Mexican restaurant. If you've got Corona Familiar, and you got Pacifico on draft.
Imagine that you give two guys from Portland a Mexican food recommendation, and it's worse than the Mexican food in Portland.
I would have ate Matador over that place.
How? I'd be fucking Taco Bell.
Yeah, it was like fancy white person. Like if you took Chevy's and turned it up 10 notches, that's what this place was.
I felt bad because I wasn't wearing fucking boat shoes in that place. It wasn't cheap.
No, it was like upscale, expensive, fake Mexican food.
I mean, that like, we'll give them that.
They did have good chips and chips salsa. And
beer. If you like chips and beer, go to this place. But yes, that sucks.
Because I will say, she goes, "Do you guys want the normal beers or the big ones?" And we were like, "Fuck it, give us a couple of the big ones." We were anticipating like 20, 24 ounce
beers. These motherfuckers
were like 36 ounce like it was like a gallon of beer.
Yeah, you honestly, for the first like, I'm gonna say the first like 3-4 sips, I had to 2-hand that thing.
It was a big boy in icy thick ass mugs too. Like I've never seen Donald a mug Trump that big.
Out there double fisting.
Oh my god. Oh well, B Mace, thank you for coming on, my man. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Hell of a trip, man.
We're gonna have to have you on again. That was a great trip.
Anytime, yeah. I wouldn't have picked a better trip to go on post near death experience with you. So it's a great time. Shout out to everybody at the cookout. Loved it. You know, can't wait to do it again.
Try to convince my co-host to let me move the facility for next year. He's demanding like it. It's at Soul Park forever.
I kind of like Ashton's idea. I'm not gonna lie. Cookout stays at Soul Park, but then like the picnic. How about
you guys are all killing me.
Maybe we go Ashton gets control of the cookout. Like it's a divorce, you know, he gets the cookout, you get the picnic. You each get a control one.
Oh, we'll keep that tabled for another time.
All I'm saying is, you know, more golf the better.
It's true.
We get two of those things.
This is true. All right, buddy.
All right, my man. Catch you later.
Take it easy, son.